The Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
Book 97, page 302. Yes, here it is. The name Nelson Walker. Occupation undetermined. Yes, Nelson, you were a drifter. You have held a dozen different positions. You've never been able to settle down. And now, with the ledger of your life lies open before me, I, Fate, look ahead to a single instant of horror.
Okay, okay, never mind that. Where's the money?
Here, in this envelope.
Oh, thank you, Nelson. Nelson, let me go! Nelson!
I'll never let you go.
Nelson!
Oh, truly, you'll never tell. Never!
In the life of Nelson Walker, a decision for evil was made. Then I, Fate, intervened. Because of a little thing, a torn paper bag, Nelson Walker will die. But take heed, you who listen, for I, Fate, am not unjust, not unmindful of mortal right. In a moment, I will read again from The Diary of Fate.
In a moment, we will learn how little things changed the life of Nelson Walker. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
In the life of Nelson Walker, a murder was committed. But in the last analysis, it was a little, seemingly insignificant thing yielded the final outcome. For you see, little things are the tools with which I work. Remember, Nelson Walker, how it all started? You were in a taxi cab on your way to the airport to catch a plane for Honolulu and a job that was waiting for you.
Can't you go any faster, driver?
Afraid not, mister. I'm pushing the limit now.
Yeah, but I've only got 10 minutes to get to the airport. I'll miss my plane.
I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can.
Hey, what are you doing? Why are you stopping?
Did you see that signal? There's a train coming.
Oh, come on. Step on it. Run through it. You've got time.
Not me, brother.
But I'm going to miss my plane, you fool. Run it.
Ain't that too bad about your plane, fella? I ain't risking my neck for nobody, so forget it.
Nelson, it was a little thing. A 2-minute delay at a railroad crossing. And yet, unknown to you, those moments were critical in your life. When you finally arrived at the airport, you learned that your flight had already left. You went to the ticket desk, expecting more trouble when you asked for a new reservation. Then I, Fate, intervened.
Well, I'll catch the other flight, Mr. Walker, but I can't promise anything. You'll excuse me a minute, sir. Reservation, Miss Carlton? Yes. Cancellation? 521? Yes, all right, thank you. Well, Mr. Walker, you're really in luck. That call was a last-minute cancellation. I can give you a seat now on the plane leaving for Honolulu in an hour.
Yes, Nelson. I, Fate, arranged a last-minute cancellation. And now you had a seat on Flight 21. You checked your luggage, bought a newspaper, and strolled into the airport restaurant where you sat down and ordered coffee. As you waited, a man's voice drifted to you from a nearby booth.
Now, don't you worry, Mr. Blair. No one knows any better than I do that $75,000 is a lot of money. But then I've been in this business a long time. You can count on Rick. I'll deliver your check, pick up the stuff, and be back here in 3 days. Late out.
The words you heard angered you, Nelson. A man named Rick. $75,000 so casually discussed made you feel small and cheap. You left the restaurant without glancing at the men in the booth. And when your flight was announced, you got aboard. A slight, well-dressed man sat next to you. And soon the big plane soared from the field and headed west. The man next to you sighed and settled back.
Oh, yes, sir. Another few hours, we'll be in Honolulu.
Yeah, this is quite a place.
I guess so. Don't know anyone there myself, but I've heard it's very nice.
Oh, you've never been there either?
No, this is my first trip out this way. I'm looking forward to seeing the island.
Well, I wish I felt the same way. I'm going to see plenty of them before I'm done. I'll be stuck on the outlying island for a year or more.
Yeah, no temptation out there. Good chance to collect a nice steak, though.
Yeah, a small one.
Well, enough so that you can take advantage of an opportunity when it comes along.
That's right. Do you have your own business now?
Not yet, but I will soon. I'm going into the Air Express business. There's a field with a future.
Air Express?
Yes. Moving things fast and smooth by air. Why, with the loads modern planes can carry, there's no limit to it. Cargo planes these days are flying boxcars, and no worry about refrigeration either. The freight compartments aren't sealed or heated, you know. You can take a load of fruit, for instance, and... there I go. Get me started on Air Express, and I'll talk your leg off.
Oh, no. Oh, it's very interesting. But what business are you in now?
Oh, well, you might call me a sort of glorified delivery boy. By the way, my name is Gage.
Oh, I'm Walker, Nelson Walker.
Glad to know you, Nelson. My first name is Enrico.
Enrico?
Yes, but of course my friends have shortened that. I'm called Rick.
Yes, Nelson. Because of a moment's delay at a railroad crossing and an unexpected ticket cancellation, you now sat next to a man with $75,000. The man you had overheard in the airport restaurant. You looked at him closely and tried to remember all that you had overheard. But then another little thing happened.
Say, Nelson, how about some gin rummy to pass the time?
Suits me, if it's not too steep.
No need for it to be. Say, a quarter of a cent a point.
Okay. Oh, by the way, there's plenty of room over here beside me. You want to move your briefcase?
Briefcase? No. No, it's all right here beside me.
All right. Want me to keep score?
Fine. Let's see, I've got an old piece of paper here someplace. Yes. This will do. It's
hey,
not...
you dropped a card there. Oh. Calling card. Here, I'll get it, Rick.
Yes, Nelson. It was another little thing. A calling card had dropped. As you bent over to pick it up, the engraving met your eye. The Royal Palm Jewelers. And penciled on it were the words, Contact Everett Ralston. Now, Nelson, you learn more about Rick. He was a courier, and in his briefcase was a check for $75,000, for which he was to receive a fortune in jewels. With this in mind, you found it very difficult to concentrate on the game of cards you played.
Well, Nelson,
that's three games in a row for me. I guess that's about enough cards, isn't it? I think I'd better get some sleep.
Yeah, me too. If I can forget the sound of those motors.
Oh, that's a lullaby to me. Yes, sir, when I get my Air Express business rolling, my whole life is going to be tied up with airplane motors. Well, see you in Honolulu.
Yes, Nelson. Tomorrow you would be in Honolulu with nothing more than just another job to look forward to. Yet in the adjacent seat was a man who held a fortune in his hand. You were impatient when the island of Oahu came into view. A few minutes later, a warning light blinked on, and it was time to fasten your safety belt for the landing.
Well, we're practically there, and I'm glad of it. Hey, aren't you going to fasten your belt, Rick?
Me? No. I always have, but nothing ever's happened. These modern planes land smoother than you can park a car. You watch now. See? Nothing to it.
Yeah, but... Hey, we're not slowing down. Something's wrong.
Not stopping. We're overshooting the field. The brakes, they're not holding.
Jake, we're going to crash.
That hangar, we're going to hit it.
Look out!
For a terrifying instant, Nelson, your mind was staggered by the awful impact. Then, as a torrent of noise and confusion burst over you, you saw that your newly found friend, Enrico Gage, was dead. This time, he had not fastened his safety belt. Almost without realizing what you were doing, you reached for his briefcase. Then you took his wallet and scrambled for the door.
All right.
I'm hurt.
We'll get you all out as soon as we can. Now, look, those of you who can walk, give me your name to check against the passenger list. Now, what is your name, sir?
Me?
Yes.
My name? I'm Enrico Gage.
Gage?
That dead man in there was riding next to me. His name is Walker. Nelson Walker.
Yes, Nelson, in the tragic confusion of an airplane crash, you made a decision, a choice for evil. Then, at that moment, the end for you was certain. Soon, Nelson, I will write again on your page in The Diary of Fate.
The end for Nelson Walker is certain. Certain as fate. But before we continue our story, here's a word from our announcer.
Yes, Nelson Walker. Your decision was a desperate one. You drove to the hotel Enrico Gage had mentioned, claimed his reservation, and then, alone in your room, opened his briefcase. The $75,000 check was certified and made out to the Royal Palm Jeweler. At that moment, the telephone rang. It was Everett Ralston, the name penciled on the calling card Gage had dropped.
I heard about the plane accident this morning, Mr. Gage. I do hope you're all right.
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. Ready for business.
Then I can expect you this afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Ralston. I'll be in your office at, say, 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
Fine. I'll see you then.
Here are the birds. 32 of them. Each one a perfect gem. Now, you have the check?
Yes, of course. Here you are. $75,000.
Thank you. It certainly is a pleasure to do business with the man you represent. Never any dickering over price, never any red tape. It's all over in a matter of minutes. I imagine that suits you too, Mr. Gage.
Yes, Mr. Ralston, it does. The faster things move, the better I like it.
Yes, Nelson. Every instant of your impersonation was a moment of danger. After you left Ralston's office, you made a reservation under an assumed name on a plane leaving for Australia that night. Then you walked back to your hotel, the case of pearls safe in your pocket. It was then, Nelson, that I, fate, again intervened, and another little thing happened. As a woman in front of you, carrying a large package, opened the door of her car, the paper bag ripped, and a number of parcels fell to the ground.
Oh, that's
stupid. Oh, here, let me help you.
Thank you. That stupid clerk gave me a torch. Why, Nelson! Nelson Walker!
Truly, Masters. Hey, this is a surprise. I had no idea you were out this way. What are you doing here?
Oh, going with rich men, you might say, but tell me, when did you get in?
Just this morning. I came by ship, luxury liner. Yeah, and believe me, this beats shivering in San Francisco.
Oh? This your first trip to Honolulu?
Yeah, it is. And I'm afraid I won't see much other place either. I have to leave tonight.
Oh, that's too bad. In that case, I suppose I'll have to be the aggressor.
Aggressor? What do you mean?
You're taking me to dinner tonight, Nelson.
Why, sure. All right, I'd love that.
We'll have cocktails at the Terrace Club first. The Terrace Club's my favorite spot. We'll have a lot to talk about, Nelson. Now you've heard the lives and loves of Trudy Masters. Any comments, Nelson?
Only one. They haven't changed a bit, Trudy.
If you mean I still like luxury and still know a good thing when I see it, you're right. But now how about that dinner?
Oh, constructive thought. I'm famished.
Give me a moment to make with the lipstick and I'll be right back.
All right, but hurry, will you?
Well, Mr. Gage, you're there again.
Hello, Mr. Ralston. How are you?
Fine, just fine. Join me in a drink.
No, thank you. I'm with someone, and we're just about to leave.
Yeah, I see. And perhaps another time, Mr. Gates. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention it this afternoon at the office, but I'd like you to come out to my place on Saturday.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Ralston, but I'm leaving tonight.
Oh, too bad. Well, any time you're back this way, please drop in and... Why, Trudy Masters.
Hello, Everett.
You know Trudy?
Why, yes, we're old friends, aren't we, my dear?
Yes, we are. By the way, Everett, how's your new bride?
Bride? Oh, yes, it's my wife. She's fine, thank you. Well, I have to be running. Goodbye, Mr. Gage.
Trudy. Goodbye, Mr. Olson.
Mr. Gage? Why did he call you that?
I have no idea.
Another little thing, Nelson. Mr. Ralston also favored the Terrace Club. Now you fully realize that the sooner you were away from Honolulu, the better off you would be. You hurried through dinner with Trudy, and then an hour later, alone in your hotel room, you smoked innumerable cigarettes, and you waited impatiently for the time to pass.
Hello?
Hello, Nelson. This is Trudy.
What? Trudy, I'm...
Surprised that I asked for Mr. Gage's room, is that you?
Well, yes. But I can explain that. You see, it's a business deal.
I see.
But, Trudy, I thought you were going home.
And I was, but frankly, Nelson, my curiosity got the best of me. I had to find out. I've been checking on you.
Me? Where?
Right here. The airport.
The airport?
Yeah. You see, Nelson, I knew you were lying this afternoon when I first met you.
What do you mean, lying about what?
Arriving by ship. Luxury liners from the mainland only come in once a week, on Wednesday. This is Monday now.
So what?
Well, I checked the airline, particularly the flight that crashed this morning. And I found out that an old friend of ours was killed. A man named Nelson Walker.
Moment, Nelson, you were stunned. Trudy Masters knew that you were impersonating Enrico Gage, and that you had had business with Everett Ralston, a dealer in pearls. Your first impulse was to flee, but then you realized that, like you, Trudy Masters was interested in only one thing, money. You arranged to meet her near a darkened hangar at the airport. And you promised her $10,000 in exchange for silence. $10,000, which you did not have.
Good evening,
what?
Mr. Gage.
Where are you?
Over here. Well, you bring the money?
Yeah. Are you alone?
Of course. What did you expect?
I don't know. I'm not used to dealing with blackmail.
Never mind that. Where's the money?
Here in this envelope.
Oh. Thank you, Nelson. Nelson, let me go. Nelson!
I'll never let you go.
Help!
What is it? What is it? Who's there?
Now, Trudy, you'll never tell. Never.
Hey, you in there. Hey, stop. What are you...
Good Lord.
Yes, Nelson Walker. Now you had murdered. Yet as you ran blindly through the night, your thoughts were only of escape. But the pilot who had heard Trudy's last cries spread the alarm. You saw others join in the chase for you. You fled into the rear of a busy freight hangar and crouched for a moment behind a pile of boxes. Then suddenly the two words, Air Express, stenciled on a large green crate in front of you, gave you an idea, a way out. You thought briefly of Enrico Gage.
Yes, sir. Moving things fast and smooth by air is the only way to do it. My cargo planes these days are just like flying boxcars. Can't we be that, Eddie?
It was your only chance, Nelson, and you took it. The large green crate contained a shipment of linen. You emptied half the contents, and then realizing it would be cold in the air, you wrapped yourself in the remaining cloth. An hour later, the crate with you inside was strapped securely in the unsealed freight compartment of a plane. And as the four-motored machine roared into the night, you were safe. Now, Nelson, you still had your pearls, and you still had your life. But soon fate will write again. Soon I will record your final entry in the diary of fate.
Before the final entry in this chapter of the diary of fate, here's a word from our sponsor.
Walker, as you huddled safely in a box in the cold, unsealed freight compartment with the giant plane, you were content. For each hour saw you farther away from Honolulu, for you had choked a woman to death. You were not aware that each moment also carried you closer to the center of a heavy storm that thundered over the vast Pacific. Yes, soon even the plane's pilot became concerned with the tempest that raged around them.
It's getting worse, Bert. We'll never get through. We better start climbing.
Right, Skipper. Certainly looks rough ahead, doesn't it? I don't imagine we'll... Hey, what is it, Skipper? What's wrong?
Number four engine. Doesn't respond at all. It's going dead, Bert.
Oh, that's a pretty thought. We can't climb without it. What are you going to do, turn back?
Oh, that won't help. The storm's all around us now. Bert, listen. Get back to the freight and start heaving it out. We got to gain altitude.
All right, sir, all right.
I'll start it out. You say when.
Come on, baby. Be good to Daddy.
There go
Daddy
the first
now.
One, Skipper. There go the first one. Any change now?
A little. Keep it going.
Okay, hold tight. Okay. Here goes. Here goes another one. Be half empty soon, Skipper. How are we doing now? Still too heavy. Trick. Wow. Well, this large green baby might do the trick.
Bert, we're okay now. Number four kicked in again. Must have been the fuel line.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that. Say, that last crate was giving me a tough time anyway.
Woo-wee.
Well, here we go, son. Up and out of this mess.
Right. Upstairs it is.
Man, this certainly is a Lulu. Afraid we'll have to climb all the way. Might clear it at 20,000 feet.
Well, 20 or 30,000, it's all the same with one of these. You know, Skipper, they're mighty handy gadgets to have along.
Oxygen mask? Yeah, man, they're all right for a guy who doesn't like choking to death.
Even as Nelson Walker choked the breath of life from Trudy Masters, so did the means of his escape stifle him first into unconsciousness, then to ultimate death. And now is the plane carrying the lifeless body of a man who chose evil, drones through the night. It is time to close the book. In the case of Nelson Walker, as in the cases of all men, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. And the countless little things are the tools with which I work. Because of a delay in a railroad crossing, a last-minute ticket cancellation, and a dropped calling card, Nelson Walker reached the crossroads of decision. He took the path of evil, and then because of a torn paper bag, Nelson Walker met Trudy Masters, and eventually, justice. Ponder well the moral, you who have listened, and remember, there is a page for you in the Diary of Fate.
The cast of the Nelson Walker entry included Gloria Blondell, Herbert Litton, Patrick McGeehan, Jack Edwards Jr., Ray Erlenborn, Vern Surrey, and Hal Sawyer. Diary of Fate is a Larry Finley transcription, brought to you from Hollywood.